Another case of mistaken identity. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today in the co-host chair, as usual, is my Vice Chairman of the Institute, our fellow analyst, and my good friend, Chuck Michaels.
And it's good to be here, Barry, as we expose yet more constitutional shenanigans.
Oh, and this one is a doozy that we've got here today. Our dateline, Charles, is the city of Fitchburg, Massachusetts. This was actually posted on the 1st of February, here just a couple days ago, when the lady by the name of Judy Sanchez was awakened by a knock on her door before 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, Miss Sanchez wakes up, she glances over, and the next thing she sees is a chainsaw cutting through the door of her apartment.
Which would be something of a scary event, you would think. Sort of draws up scenes of maybe the Texas Chainsaw Massacre or something.
Well, you know what? This takes home invasion to a totally different level, Charles. See, the only problem is that when Miss Sanchez's door was abruptly sawn open, the people standing behind the door with the chainsaw were agents from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI. You see, they had been staking out and running a surveillance for over 2 weeks, and they were coming in to get what they considered to be a cache of illegal drugs and weapons. Only problem, Charles? Judy Sanchez lives in apartment 2R in her apartment complex. The suspect that the FBI had supposedly had very close surveillance on for 2 weeks prior to this event lived in apartment 2F. Now,
yeah,
I know and before 6 o'clock in the morning, Charles, okay, usually if I'm up before 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm dressed in a total riot gear SWAT outfit with a helmet and infrared glasses, I too can mistake R's and F's, especially if I'm standing so far away from the door that the distance of a chainsaw blade from the door to my face. I can mistake that too.
Well, if you're wearing so much a quote-unquote protective gear, you've got your goggles on, because let's face it, you're going to throw tear gas in. So you've got all that protective gear on. You've got bulletproof vests, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, you got the whole outfit on.
You're all hopped up. You're all adrenalined up, man. You're not even going to read the address on the door. You're just going to get something that looks really close and beat the door in.
Well, now, that's kind of what they did here. Now, thankfully for Miss Sanchez, they didn't do that one thing you said that's normal to do, and that is lob in tear gas first thing. But that would have been a big problem because Judy Sanchez wasn't alone in the apartment. Her 3-year-old daughter was in the next room.
And just imagine if a 3-year-old was subjected to, incorrectly, a tear gas grenade. The child could very easily have been permanently harmed or killed.
Not to say that her daughter may not already be permanently harmed, Charles, because this story gets even more bizarre. Okay, the FBI comes in, comes through the door, they've cut it down with a chainsaw, busted it open, they come through, and Miss Sanchez says she was freaking out. But that's when she said she heard the click of a gun and heard FBI, get down. So she did exactly what she was directed to do, which I think probably was very smart. She got down on the floor. They said, now get your dog. So what about her daughter? Well, her daughter was in the next room. So she had this dog, which was a puppy.
A three-month-old pit bull puppy.
And yeah. I'm sure the FBI was very scared because it was a pit bull puppy. It was about 3 months old. But they held Miss Sanchez on the floor with her puppy, laying in a puddle of puppy pee because the dog had gotten scared and urinated at the same time. The agents told her not to move because if she did that, well, she feared she could be shot. While her daughter is screaming, her head, 3-year-old girl, not knowing what's going on, not knowing what's happening to mommy, hearing all this loud noises and yelling and chainsaws and everything else, her daughter is probably just totally freaking out in the next room. But for 35 minutes, Charles, Miss Sanchez had to lay on the floor in the other room and not be able to attend to her daughter, not be able to calm her daughter, and not be able to do anything but fear for her own life until the feds, for 35 minutes, finally figured out they had the wrong apartment.
Well, Barry, okay, if you're reading the same story I am, I'm reading it out of the CBS Boston website.
Yeah, that's where we're getting this from.
But if you look down here, first of all, you said that the investigation had been going on for 2 weeks. Read it again.
Oh,
it says the investigation had been going on for 2 years.
The raid was part of a 2-year-long investigation, but I saw in another that they had been staking out this one particular location for the last couple of weeks. So I kind of was crossing up on a couple of things. But yes, they've been investigating this entire thing for 2 years and finally thought they had it all, and they get the wrong apartment number.
Well, not only that, Barry, but think about this. The numbskull, who's the guy they're after, is apparently in the room next door. Now, how you get from 2R to 2F, I really don't know.
Unless it's just one of those ones where on one side of the hall, it's...
Yeah.
It goes up one side of the hall and comes back down the other side. It's hard.
I've seen stranger numbering systems and designation systems. But in any case, that guy sits tight in his apartment and eventually does get arrested. It's after 35 minutes and having staked the place out for a minimum of 2 weeks and been investigating for 2 years. They break into the wrong apartment and don't realize it for 35 minutes.
That's right.
Now, this is who we're allowing to run airport security. This is who we're allowing to do quote-unquote food safety with the Food and Drug Administration. This is who we're allowing to run labor relations between unions and management. This is who we're allowing to set certain kinds of regulations for mine safety. Folks, if it's not apparent by now that the federal government is at least as bad, if not worse, than local law enforcement at handling these things, this should be something that tells the complete tale. The fact is, before the Clinton administration, when the FBI was given arrest power, the FBI would have had to have worked through the local police department.
That's exactly right.
Nowadays, the FBI has been given federal police power, which is not a constitutional thing to do. There is no place in the Constitution that allows the federal government to create an agency with police power. All police powers are supposed to be handled by state and local authority. They have been handed this police power. They are arrogant about it because they have the quote-unquote supremacy clause behind them. Now, I think the height of arrogance is what happens at the bottom of this story, Barry, where the woman basically says, later in the day, some agent shows up to offer an apology. The looks on their faces when they knew they got the wrong door was priceless, she recalls. They looked at each other dumbfounded. In other words, how long did this take? Why was her child allowed to lay in bed in the next room screaming for her mother for 35 minutes while this woman is forced to lay in a puddle of, you know, this poor puppy who has obviously been frightened half to death along with the mother? But the fact is, this is the height of incompetence. She says another agent came by later in that day to offer an apology, but it was one that Sanchez felt wasn't quite genuine. Gee, you think?
Yeah, about that door, you go talk to your landlord about that. We're sorry for the inconvenience. Have a good day. That's just sad.
Yeah, and listen to this. For me, it felt routine apology. It felt like just a regular quote, I'm sorry for the inconvenience. Here's the phone number for your landlord to get reimbursed for the door. Have a good day.
Wow, that's pretty sad.
I'd say, now, if this woman doesn't get reimbursed by the federal government itself in large denominations, I would be shocked. And
well,
she deserves
she probably won't, because they'll claim sovereign immunity. They'll claim that they were in the act of basically prosecuting this investigation and bringing a bad guy to justice. And so therefore, none of the acts that they did could be sued for.
That hasn't held up in the federal courts very well.
Well, that's good to hear.
That sovereign immunity claim is all well and good. And it usually only works when federal agencies are sued in state courts. When they're sued in federal courts, they don't fare as well, especially in cases like this. But, you know, Barry, I'm rather shocked at some of the comments that I've read from some of the Boston area residents who are writing in about this particular complete miscarriage of justice.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, I'll read one real quick from Robert. Sorry that happened, Jessica, but if they got even one gun, or better yet, one illegal alien, it is most likely saved at least one life down the road. Fitchburg is infested. These guys are putting their lives on the line to protect us from the rodents. Again, I am sorry it happened to you, but if it was my neighbor dealing drugs, guns, or living off the American taxpayers' dollars, I'd be okay if they smashed down my door on accident as long as they got them.
Chuck, that shows an incredible lack of understanding of what's been going on in this society here lately, because we had another situation like that that happened last spring, but at that point, the homeowner wasn't quite as fortunate and ended up being shot over 60 times.
Yes.
By the law enforcement organization that came busting through his door.
Yeah, this was, if I'm not mistaken, a Marine Corps veteran who was just back from the Gulf.
Right.
And was mistaken for a cousin down the street. And again, it was a case of mistaken address. And this isn't the only case where this happened. There was a case in San Diego where the FBI kicked in a door. It was a no-knock warrant. They kicked in a door, and the guy, hearing his door kicked in, grabbed his 9mm and went out and defended himself, and they shot him to pieces. Now, if I remember right, he may have survived. I don't remember for sure.
No, that one died.
Did he die as well? Okay,
I believe it was 71 shots fired, and of the 71 shots, 60 of them hit him.
Yeah, that's right. There were neighbors who actually witnessed the FBI standing outside after they realized they'd made their mistake. And, okay, guys, let's get our story straight. That is not the action of someone who is doing what they know to be right. That is the action of someone doing something they know to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, they knew full well they were violating that man's rights. Any FBI agent who is actually exercising his police power should be well educated enough in the Constitution to know that he really doesn't have that power. And the fact is, the big problem is, Barry, we have these guys who love to dress up in the black uniforms, and they love to put on the equipment, and they love to get their tear gas grenades and their shotguns and their semi-automatic weapons ready to go, and they love the idea of just going in and beating on a perpetrator. I wrote an article, oh gosh, got to be 4 or 5 years ago, in our blog, way early when we first started our blog for the Institute for Principled Policy,
mm-hmm.
www.principledpolicy.com, in which I said my first act as mayor, if I were ever elected mayor, would be to require all the SWAT equipment and all the uniforms to be changed from black to pink. You get the same kind of, if everybody sees the pink truck, they know the SWAT team's out. But the fact is, these guys who love dressing up in black won't like dressing up in pink so much.
Probably not.
And it sounds petty and arbitrary, but the fact is, there's a little bit too much love of this black uniform thing. And Hitler and Mussolini understood the power of the man dressed all in black. The color of the SS uniforms were black. Mussolini's guys were called the black shirts. They were thugs who just went about, and when people saw those black shirts, they got scared, and that's the whole purpose behind the SWAT uniform and the FBI black uniforms with, you know, big FBI agent emblazoned on the thing. It's a power trip.
It very well can be. But, you know, you're right. The whole point is, Chuck, that the vast majority of folks out there, and part of the reason why folks tune in and listen to us, is to find out that, well, number one, the FBI shouldn't have been at that door in the first place because there's no constitutional warrant for them to have police arrest powers. And number two, even if you went past that, the whole point is that the Fourth Amendment allows us to be secure in our persons and papers. They would have needed a search warrant, which I've not heard that has been produced either.
I'm assuming they would have had some kind of paperwork.
Well, you would have thought that maybe somebody would have looked at the paperwork before they fired the chainsaw up and carved through the wrong door, that they would have said, "Whoops, yeah. Wait a minute, that's an F. We're supposed to be at R, or vice versa."
Yeah, this is an R. We're supposed to be at F. It's a misprint. Go. You know.
Go. But
it's
anyhow,
a misprint.
But ladies and gentlemen, the whole point is that we need to stand by a rule of law. We cannot excuse even those people who are behind badges if they are violating the Constitution or if they are not following the rule of law. Because to not follow the rule of law and to be in a position of power or authority becomes tyranny. And Chuck, I think if people, you know, who listen here to our regular daily program, they could tune in to us tomorrow, Saturday, for our hour-long program at noon. We're going to be going into much more depth and detail on this particular theme, because some people with a lot more power than just the FBI have made some chilling commentary about what is and isn't allowable in relation to United States citizens. So I just a little teaser for tomorrow. Just tune in tomorrow for that. Yeah.
And with that teaser, we're out of time.
Well, Chuck, I guess that means we don't have time for the steel chainsaw ad that I thought we should run at this point.
Nothing works as hard as a steel, that's all we can say.
Obviously not, even in the hands of the FBI. All right, join us on Saturday for our hour-long Principles and Policies. Thanks for joining us.